Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
All right, there's a lot in this week. This is the Puffcast. Fabulous Adam Richard, Outrageous Scott Brennan, Punctual Toby Sullivan. Hi.
A good way to remember your nearest exit is counting the seats between you and the nearest exit.
Let's push on.
Sausages, can you see my lovely sausages?
Puffcast.
Oh, it is time for another dip into the pool of the sex survey.
We've tabulated some fresh results have come through the Ponds Institute. And I'm happy to continue the gay census.
Tony's got his white coat on.
Yeah. That's right.
That's because the semen stains are showing up on the black one.
We're rolling on the condom of research and fucking the truth. That's what we're doing.
Wow.
I can't believe it took you to the third one. You had 2 weeks to write that shit.
Scott generally takes until the third one.
Yeah, that was question 11, actually.
Yeah. We're up to question 8 of 25,000.
Right.
Open question, this is interesting. What do you wish your partner, bracket S, would do more of? And, you know, I put a few options but encourage people to add their own. Foreplay, fantasy, group play, year 12. I was just trying to guess what people might like, and I think I kind of hit the mark. Nearly 50% of people wanted more foreplay.
Right.
More foreplay.
More foreplay.
Right, wow.
Right, boys, it takes more than are you awake?
Yeah.
Not always.
See, I like foreplay.
Yeah.
And I will postpone the inevitable as long as I possibly can.
It's absolutely the best part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a good, just a passion to roll around is pretty
But what do you define foreplay as, though? Like, is foreplay everything but up the bum? Or is foreplay everything but touching a doodle? Like, is foreplay pants on? Like, see, this is my thing. I don't know what foreplay and what sex
comes down
anymore.
To semantics, doesn't it?
See, like, if...
Well, you know, when the car pulls up and the driver turns around and says, that'll be $14.85, thanks.
Right.
That's the foreplay.
Right.
Everything.
No, it's just that, like, if my boyfriend had an encounter with someone else's penis, I would consider that cheating.
Yes.
But when it comes to our sex, I consider everything up until the final bit, foreplay.
Right. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
No, I think foreplay is... It's like a mental divide rather than a physical activity thing. I think it's anything that's titillating.
Yes.
You know, so like I would...
So watching True Blood.
Yeah.
Or, well, do you know what?
I've just cleaned the kitchen.
Although for us it was Game of Thrones recently.
But, you know, like foreplay could be anything from, you know, like... I'm totally going to fuck you when we get home.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like that sort of stuff.
Psychological foreplay.
Or just like you say, Scott, like kissing is so underrated.
Kissing is awesome.
Just a really big kiss and roll around on the floor.
So rimming's past foreplay.
I would say.
I really reckon.
I'm trying
when
to
you're eating
an
someone else's dinner, I hate that. The horse has bolted. I think it would be pretty hard case to make that, Your Honour, we were not having sex.
Well,
I was just licking his ass.
Yeah. I had my tongue fully in his rectum.
Yeah.
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 I'd say that's... Right. But, you know, it does come... It's just
I've turned into a Catholic girl when it comes to sex, clearly. But if it's not penetration, it doesn't count.
Yeah, that's right. And you've only done it up the bum, so you're still a virgin.
Totes a virgin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We did have some great comments about this one.
This is really interesting. Just everyone could just let go with this one.
We did get a few rimming.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, I love getting rimmed. Wish my boyfriend did. And fuck me. If you know how to kiss, then I'm yours. My favourite one, though, is it wrong to act out scenes from Schindler's List?
If you're Ralph Fiennes and you're in a toilet cubicle on a plane, maybe yes.
Come on, love, put the red coat on and let's do it again.
I can't believe Prince Harry responded to our survey. Do you reckon that rimming thing is, because you know how like the young kids, have got a bit of a fear of ass.
Yes.
Do you reckon that's youthful fear of ass?
Well, it's because they don't know how to douche the poor bitches.
Yeah.
They don't know that you need to clean that shit out. Get rid of the shitty dreadlocks. No one's going to lick it.
Oh.
No one's going to bite through your fucking shitty ass
dad. You
dads.
Are painting such a mental picture.
That's
now.
When you know you really like someone, if you're prepared to bite through their shitty ass dags to rid them.
Yeah, if there's like
that's
a wheat bix.
That is love.
If there's, a wheat bix in there and they've got a... We're going to break through then to the chocolatey goodness that lies. Oh!
Wow. Question 8A, do you feel like spewing?
Yes.
100% yes. Question 9, I visit sex on premises venues. What do you reckon? What do you reckon was the clear runaway winner? Weekly, monthly, never?
Monthly. I reckon.
Monthly? Weekly?
Never.
Never?
How big? How many?
77%.
77 never go to sex venues.
So obviously people were filling out this survey in front of their partners.
Yeah.
Oh, never. I've never even heard of it. Whoa. Never. So this is like the dating sites. Real surprise. Because it's meant to be like in the sort of popular imagination, it's such a huge part of gay culture. But survey says.
Survey says.
Scott, you go there. It's the same six people, isn't it?
Yeah, it pretty much is. Dad says hi, Toby, by the way. Like you do see the same faces, over and over again.
Is it like that Warner Brothers cartoon with the sheepdog and the coyote? G'day, Sam.
Yeah. Actually, so I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me a story about being at Wet on Wellington, or one of the saunas, one of the venues in Melbourne, and he was saying I was sucking someone off through a glory hole, and went, hang on. I know this cock. And actually recognised someone they knew by their cock.
By their cock.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Imagine how handy that would be in a crisis. Like in a
when you
in
say
a
someone
fire.
You know.
Surprisingly, it wasn't actually me. It was someone else.
But it was your cock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
I was talking to someone the other day at, I think, the Peel or somewhere, who had never, ever been to a sex on premises venue.
Right.
And this is someone I thought was quite a rampant root rat. And
I
think there's this perception, because I have met a few people who have never been, and I think there's this perception of sex on premises venues that they're kind of full on rape orgies or something that, you know, that it's just all in. It's just a big room that you walk into and everybody just fucks each other willy nilly.
Like
and
Caligula or something.
Yeah, yes.
Just less Helen Mirren.
Yes. But a lot of people have these kind of different views of it. And actually, one of the comments was too confronting for a gentle soul such as me.
Aww.
So, I think there is this perception that they're really kind of full on and you have to take it up the bum from that old guy with the scabs on his penis. otherwise,
I'm right here. Dang on.
So,
people are a bit shocked by that. Yeah, I was really surprised by that. Peter and I have been to a sex on premises venue.
Really?
Together,
and I thought, you know, if the hole in the sheet gang is has showed up, I thought, well, fucking everyone and his nana has done that. Oh, God. Jesus shit.
Hole in the sheet gang.
Ridiculous. Final question.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean, these questions were skewed because I assumed that everyone lived in the same drunken slutty bubble as us. So we wanted to know, if you're in a relationship, are you 100% monogamous, or do you fuck around a bit, or is it open and, whatever? Again, 77%, 100% monogamous.
Wow.
No playing outside the house.
Is that of the 40% who were in relationships?
No, this is out of everyone.
Oh, right. When they're in a relationship, it's 100% monogamous.
Oh, sorry. If you're in a relationship, yes. So 70% of the 40% are 100% monogamous.
Oh, wow, you just gave me a little maths headache.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the vast majority anyway.
The vast majority, 100%.
Wow.
Like 15%. Said it was open, but we have rules.
Yeah.
Right.
And 2.5%, the first one to 100 doesn't have to vacuum for a year.
Right.
You know, but like if you took this us three as a sample, like overwhelmingly we are in monogamous relationships.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Just slut bucks over there.
Keeps who? The average on track.
Who are you talking about,
slut
guys? Who are you talking about? So, sorry, did I miss something then? What?
Look at her, but like butter wouldn't melt in her ass.
Yeah. But we did get some interesting responses here. Like under discussion, he thinks so.
Oh.
He thinks so, which is dangerous. My favourite one, though, was I thought the last question would be, have you had sex with Scott? But I guess you need multiple choices.
Rule number one, listeners, be funny, but not funnier than us.
Yes. Well, that has been...
That is the Talking Puffy Sex Survey.
That has been fascinating, that and it's taken us nearly a month to get through it.
Yes.
We should put a new survey on for next time.
I know. Ten shitty questions, three segments. What are we doing?
Perfect.
Perfect.
I don't want to talk to these cocksuckers, but you have to.
Puffcast. It is time for interrogation.
Let's get the answers we want. Yes.
We are now talking to someone who had a role written for them in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical.
All dedicated.
Currently starring in Hairspray. It is Trevor Ashley. How are you, darling?
Hello, boys. Oh. Very well, thank you.
It's delightful to speak to you, not at 4 o'clock in the morning at a gay bar.
Yes.
I know, it's usually at the Peel, isn't it?
Trevor, we do have some very probing questions from our bank, our wheel of fuckwittery. all right, Trevor, have you ever pashed a member of the opposite sex, given that you are a renowned gaybo?
Well, weirdly enough, I've actually slept with a person of...
Oh, my God, you're a mudblood. You're a mudblood.
It's a mudblood.
Ah! Run.
What's hilarious is my ex-girlfriend. She came to see Hairspray last night and then called me today. I was like, oh, it was so fabulous and you were so great. You make such a lovely mother. And I thought, I've been inside you. That's really... Now, you can all enjoy that.
Trevor, I too have crossed the Rubicon. And I didn't find it a particularly awful experience, but I can promise you she did.
Yes.
I think it was the same with Matt. Well, look, I tried my best, I think. I think I would have got 10 points for effort and about 2 points for ability, but you know.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit like when you're a youngster, like when you're 6 or 7 and like your dad is doing some repairs and you try and help him.
Oh.
And then he pats you on the head and says, thanks, champ, but I'll take it from here.
Is that what happened with the girl? Did your dad come in and say, thanks, champ, I'll take it from here?
It was in my parents' bed.
Ah.
Horrible to think that, isn't it?
Wow.
It's bad sleeping in your parents' bed. I once gave my mother crabs that way. I fucked a guy in her bed.
Oh, my God.
You gave your mother an STI.
Mother an STI by fucking some random dude in her bed.
Oh, that's fabulous.
While she was on holiday.
Oh, my God.
Because I only had a single bed and a tiny little... I had a study that was a room.
Wash the fucking sheets, you pig.
Yeah.
Do some laundry.
I was 17. I didn't know how to do those things.
Oh, my God.
I was 17, too. That was my... I was 17, and then I actually... I was dating her for a few months, and I actually ended up cheating on her with this boy in my class. And I thought, oh, hang on, I think there's something in him. I think I like him better. I think I'm much better at this. And yes, so unfortunately, no wedding bells. And my mother was devastated because she really liked her. But anyway, there you go.
Oh, dear.
God.
Well, it's time to ask you a very difficult question. Which gay couple, real or imagined, you can make one up, they don't even need to be gay, do you wish had adopted you and brought you up?
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Two very fine gentlemen.
Yes.
What a great life you would have had, you know. And then you could have sold the story and, like, said, I was raised and, you know, Tom used to hit on my friends at school.
Yes.
That was great.
I just do worry, though, because have you seen Isabella? She's she's a plain girl.
Yeah.
But
really, if you'd written a book about it, it would have been called Mummy, Don't Leave Me Alone with Daddy.
All right, here is a very divisive question for the gay community. Funny girl or Yentl?
Funny girl.
Funny girl.
Yeah, right. Why?
Absolutely funny girl. Oh, look, I think it's just always dangerous to let Barbara direct herself because nothing would ever be wrong.
Yes.
What went wrong in Yentl really was that Barbara was directing herself. It was like, well, you know what, maybe you just might want a second opinion. Kind of why I think Funny Girl definitely is the winner there.
Is that also because Funny Girl, you know, was a stage musical and you yourself are an avatar of
Hoofer, professional hoofer.
Professional hoofer.
Amongst other things.
Yeah. Oh, look, if I ever had one dream of a role that I'd love to play, I'd love to play Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl. I think I'd be great at it.
How would you go on the roller skates?
No. Oh, look, I'd manage on the roller skates.
I actually would prefer to see you in Yentl.
Can you hear me?
I want to see you doing Yentl with the full the full Lainey Kazan voice you do in Hairspray.
Just literally just when she becomes a boy, I just take my face off.
Yeah.
A role you were born to play, Trevor.
That would be great.
Trevor, can I tell you something? Because, look, here's a confession. When they were doing the auditions for Hairspray, I was one of the people up for the role that Trevor got. And he said, I'm just going to do Lainey Kazan's voice for the role. And I am horrified at how close it is to the real Lainey Kazan voice.
It just sort of, it's so odd, isn't it? It was just that weird Jewish stick that's in there. And I went, look, it's kind of very Lainey Kazan or Edie Gourmet or, you know.
Edie like Gourmet.
Edie Gourmet.
Do you know, but can I tell you something, Trevor? I was having lunch with Nia Vardalos in Los Angeles.
Oh,
whose mother...
Pick that name up for you.
But Lainey Kazan played her mother in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I told her that you were doing an impression of Lainey Kazan in Hairspray in Sydney. She's like, I have to tell her. She will love that.
Oh, fabulous. I'd love to meet her because, I mean, God, even just her in Beaches doing, Leona, Leona. She's yelling at Leona. Come on, I'm schwitzing. I love it. Up the beach and going, all right,
Fizzy,
we'll go home.
You know, there are hundreds of twinks listening to this, listening to words like Edie Gourmet and Lainey Kazan, who go, what language are they speaking? Schwitzing. Troy, get your iPad out. What are they talking about? Noah's mentioned Gaga for 25 minutes.
I know, it's hysterical.
Is schwitzing like fisting? What is that?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
All right, now, when you're on the grinder or the gaydar or whatever you're using, do you prefer cock shot or face pick?
I'm on the face pick.
Really?
I think, well, do you know what? I picked up trade the other night from Stonewall and I've gone home with this lovely young boy and, you know, anyway, I wake up the next morning and he's lying next to me. Now, he thinks I'm still asleep. He's sitting next to me using my phone charger, lying next to me in bed, on Grindr, organising. I am dead serious. He's sitting there and I'm reading. He's sending cock pics to this guy and this other guy sending them back.
On your Grindr profile?
No, not on mine, on his, but just lying in bed next to me after we've just had sex.
Oh, my God.
And he's sitting there, lying there and, like, typing. He's going, oh, look, I'm just staying at a friend's house, but I'm really horny. I can come over right now.
Oh, my God.
He actually then turned. I pretended to be asleep, and he woke me up and said, I've really got to be getting home. And I thought, you little bitch. No, you're not. You're going off to fuck that boy off Grindr. So,
How rude. Imagine picking up a twink at a nightclub. Waking up in the morning, and they were dismissive.
Home. I can't believe you went home with Scott Brennan.
Don't be stupid. I never stay the night.
That's a bit of a blow to your self-esteem to be waking up in the morning with little, you know, little Miss Tramp next to you with little, you know.
Third agenda.
Yeah.
My God.
Going, Mummy, I'm still hungry.
then wouldn't you just turn around? Well, obviously not. He's on the grind of picking up somebody else. But I just find it, I think those little kids are getting too obsessed with it. But, I mean, I don't really use it because, unfortunately, if I put my face on there, people know me, mm-hmm. and especially in Sydney, it's just ridiculous. But if, you know, I put, like, my body shot, then I never get any body shot.
So what have you got?
I don't have one. I don't actually use it.
All right.
You know why I can't use Grindr?
Why?
Fat man thumbs. I can't press the buttons properly.
Oh, dear.
I need a stylus.
All right, Trevor, it's time for our final question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Which Glee character are you?
Oh, this will be very interesting, won't it? From a professional.
From a professional.
Look, I think I'm Kristen Chenoweth's character.
Oh.
April.
I'm in musical theatre and I'm a drunk.
Right, yes.
Does that mean
only show up to every fourth show.
Yeah. and are you now mounting the all-white version of The Wiz?
That would be fun, though. I don't know whether we'd cast these that we could Witch of the West or The Lion. I'm not quite sure.
I've always wanted to do an all-male version of Gypsy.
And we will one day, Adam. We will.
I think it would be fabulous. As a fundraising concert, an all-male Gypsy would be campus tits. So we better get a bloody good-looking boy to play Gypsy to take his clothes off.
I'm right here, Trevor.
The worst thing is we'll all be fighting over who plays Mama Rose. Yes. It'll end in tears.
Yes.
I think it'll have to be a scene-by-scene. Yeah.
It'll
cameo after cameo.
Yeah, it'll be like the end of a chorus line. There'll be literally 200 people on stage all doing Mama's turn.
It'll be like in Bold and the Beautiful. The part of Mama Rose is now being played by Adam Richard. Heaven.
Fantastic.
Well, it's been fabulous. The gorgeous Trevor Ashley.
Yay! Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you for having me.
About 5 years ago, I was in my backyard entertaining a friend with my hands. Podcast.
Well, it's a very special Grunt Report this week.
Aren't they always just always a little special. Bit special?
Yeah, they're a little bit full on. This is one. It's the keynote speech from the first annual Golden Urinal Awards.
He picked up the Golden Urinal.
Yeah.
He won the Golden Urinal.
What did he win?
I don't know. What for?
I guess he just made up his own thing. I don't know. We'll find out when. Here we go. Here it is from the Golden Urinal Awards. Grunty McFuckering with his special Grunt Report keynote speech.
Is this fucking thing on? Ladies, and who am I fucking kidding? Gentlemen and gentlemen, twinks, twunks, tops, trainees, straight acting bi guys, hung cut, versatile doms, no time wasters are over 30, and everyone else with a pair of tits and no conscience. It is with great pleasure and no small amount of humility, by which I mean almost no humility whatsoever, that I gratefully and totally by expectation accept this Golden Urinal Award for Best Gay Bar on behalf of the Wrongens Chain of Gentlemen's Clubs and English as a Second Language Tutorial Centres. I also accept the awards on behalf of Wrongens for most astronomical bar prices, highest ratio of bar staff peck measurement to IQ points, most irresponsible cloakroom, and Lifetime Achievement Award for venues causing frustration to lesbians with their door policy on No Fish Night. And my commiserations go to other venues nominated tonight, which fucking none were. What's the point of inventing a whole new category of awards if you're not going to win them all? Like Laurie Oakes joining the Olympic synchronised swimming team. Thanks for your support, Laurie, but fuck off out of the pool, you're making it overflow. It is just so rewarding to see all your hard work and investment in bullying your staff rewarded like this. And it makes all the long hours and bumming busboys in the cool room worthwhile. I guess I just want to say to everyone who voted for us this year, I've never been happier. I owe you a debt of gratitude I couldn't repay if I lived for another million years. So in recognition of that, I'm happy to offer you all $1 off all drinks for 8 seconds starting from 2002. I would in particular
like to thank in particular myself for all of my hard work in preparing literally thousands of forms fighting for myself. And in particular having the courage and vision to invent these bullshit paper mache excuses for a media release myself in the first place. Grunty McFuckering, this one's for you. You, sir, are a scholar and a visionary. And I take my butt plug out for you.
To infinity and beyond, come into your arms.
Moving on to another exciting instalment of the most frustratingly pointless segment ever created, and I remind you, this is a world in which supermarket sweep exists. I give you Wes Wes.
Yay!
Hello!
Come in, Wes.
Wesley.
Are you receiving Wesleyan?
If you get Wes Wes this week, I'm giving all of you a blowjob.
Oh, really?
Oh, so yeah, it's really easy then.
Oh,
damn.
God.
I'm not a cab driver. Are you in the front of a cab?
No.
No. All right. Well, let's see how we do
let's
then.
Get started.
All right.
What can you see? Where are you?
Black and white.
Black and white.
You can see black and white.
South Africa.
Black and white. I'm just giving you little clues. Black and white.
You're right at the start of Wizard of Oz.
No.
Right. Are you at training with Collingwood?
No. Oh, God, you're good. That's you're on a path.
You want the Brownlows?
I don't want to win the blown job.
No, you're not going to get it, Toby.
Okay. So you might be at training at Collingwood. Okay.
What else can you give us?
Are there any sounds or other sensations? If you can see black and white, what else can you...
Electric, you feel the power of
the energy. Debbie Gibson.
Yes.
Debbie Gibson's playing.
She will be in a minute.
Right.
So Debbie Gibson's playing black and white. This sounds horrific. Are you in Schindler's List?
No, Debbie Gibson, knowing Wes's proclivities, Debbie Gibson was on Broadway recently. She was in am I wrong?
She was in Funny Girl.
Can I say, this has nothing to do with Wes Wes, but that is true. You know that when I was 21, I went to Broadway to see Debbie Gibson in Beauty and the Beast.
That's right, she was in Beauty and the Beast.
That's what I'm thinking of.
When I went to see her, I couldn't afford to go, so I just waited for the whole show to finish at stage door so that I could meet her afterwards, and she came out and gave me a hug.
Oh.
I follow her on Twitter. She's very boring.
Right. So she was on Broadway when you were 21, so that was like in sort of the 1800s.
Yeah.
Not really relevant now, so I'm on a wild goose chase.
Okay,
there.
So black and white, Debbie Gibson. What else have you got?
All right, not much.
Come on, Scott, that should be enough.
Yeah.
Hang on, when you say black and white, do you mean the Michael Jackson song?
Do you know what? No, because I originally was thinking that, but no, I changed it a while ago, like before this phone call.
That's good. Show your workings, Wes. Good. Yeah, you'll get extra marks.
Black and white. Toby was on the, you know, right track.
A training with Collingwood with Electric Youth.
Are you on like television in the 80s?
You're so getting closer.
Maybe, oh my God, are you on MTV?
Maybe it's like a training rehearsal thing. Is it like are you in A Chorus Line, the movie, or something like that?
No.
Are you on Young Talent Time?
No. Well, I wish I was.
You wish you were on Young Talent Time.
I actually just wish I was.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's not part of the clues.
Black and white.
Black and white.
Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson. Why would they be singing? And are you at a rock at Stedford?
Oh my God, no, I'm not, but you're in the right ballpark.
Black and white and electric, not Eurovision.
No.
Oh.
No, because you would have got that straight away.
Correct. Yeah. I would know that encyclopedically.
Debbie Gibson, black and white, like, might be Collingwood.
Training is a rehearsal.
Rehearsal for something?
Well, Wes, it's isn't technically that a I think performance. It involved a lot of rehearsal before the performance.
Is that an opening ceremony?
No, but close. It's the other end.
A closing ceremony?
Kind of. For want of a better description.
Is it a Moomba parade?
Are you the queen of Moomba?
Closing ceremony, all the better description.
He was at something really shit like the Easter show or the Melbourne show.
Should I just put you out of your misery?
Yeah, I think
I'm enjoying this.
Good luck.
Is it something Billy Elliot? I'm thinking sports.
There's a child involved.
Is it Nikki Webster?
Are you at the Olympics, the opening ceremony of the Olympics?
No.
Oh.
There's a child. Are you the child?
Yep.
It's you as a child doing Electric Youth at your school concert when you're like 12.
You're so close and it frightens me because I'm not giving you a blowjob, Adam.
I know what it is. It's your audition to get into Rusden Dance Academy.
No.
You did do Electric Youth for that, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
I give up. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I can't take it anymore. What is it?
Okay, it's the 1990 Premiership, Collingwood Premiership. They've just won the grand final, and I've got my family in at the end of the AFL game to sit down to watch me perform my version of the school rock of Stedford 2 Electric Youth where I was playing all of the parts, and I wore black and white jeans.
I don't know how we didn't get that, honestly. How could we have missed
it? I love how close we got.
I honestly didn't think you'd get anywhere near
this. We got pretty close, though.
Wow, that is Thomas Jasper's grade.
Yeah.
I'll try my hardest to make next week's not about me.
Okay, but no like promises.
In
no
other words, it's going to be all about you, right? Well, yeah. We'll talk to you next week, darling.
Including my guy, Michael.
It's world up! All right, it's time once again for the Poofstery.
I'm loving this segment.
This is so educational.
I know.
But also hilarious because Mother Horan, our history professor,
hello,
knows everything.
What do you got for us this week, Teach?
Look, it's...
Where are we going?
I wanted to go to euphemisms.
Oh, yes. Isn't that near Turkey?
Yeah.
No,
it's
that's
near the bow.
It's in Iraq. It's next to the Euphrates.
No, I wanted to talk about how in the old days, there's a lot of young gays, you know, saying, oh, you shouldn't talk camp. You shouldn't do, you know, call each other Mary and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about historically, it was really important that gays had their own language.
Yeah.
And it was
a coded thing.
It was secret language, but it also came from the weirdest places. And it's hilariously funny and inventive. And people who throw gay language out, tut, tut.
No, I love gay language. Because there was like a weird crossover between gay and carnival.
Carny folk.
Carny now, folk and homos.
This is called Polari. Now, this is called Polari, which is a language that is mainly British gay, 1950s, it kind of reached
its own
peak.
Name.
Polari.
Yeah, Polari.
But it's actually a lot older. It's kind of 400 years old. And it came through, it was the language of carny folk. And basically, like Punch and Judy shows used to speak a kind of version of Polari. And Polari is a kind of weird bit of Italian, a bit of Romani, which is gypsies to the non-PC.
If you watch My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding on Foxtel, you know exactly what Mother Horan's talking
exactly.
about.
And these were basically carny folk who would kind of speak this language, but gays kind of took it up and
It wasn't a real language. It was like a patois that was like a mashup.
It's kind of a
different...
real kind of... and
almost a pidgin English kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of a pidgin English, a little bit rhyming slang, a little bit of sorts of things. But we get some really important words.
And was that because of, like, were carny folk kind of considered sort of outsiders as well? So it was
A lot of gays would work in that kind of area. So by the kind of 19th century, it became a kind of secret language. But also, there were words in Polari which there was no words in English for. For example, to dress in drag.
Right.
So drag we get from thing. Now that comes from the Romani, which is called indraca, which is skirt. So to put on a skirt. Drag comes from that. Because in the 19th century there was no kind of let's dress as women, so it came from Romani.
Yeah, right.
The other one that interesting that we get from Polari, which I never knew until I started looking up, was zhuzh.
Really?
And this is once again, it's a gypsy word, which means to tidy. And this was associated at the time of 1970s gay liberation. All of these words were kind of old, bad, gay kind of things.
Yeah.
Can you That's just, the old past.
Before you go and clarify how you actually spell zhuzh.
It's down here as Z-H-O-O-S-H.
Right.
See, I spell it Z-H-U-Z-H.
It'll be one of those
words. You generally
words.
Don't spell
them. No.
It'll be one of those words that's got an up. Accent or a cedilla or an
umlaut. Oh, I love an umlaut. Do you know, Scott, this is to help you out, if you want to see some Polari in action, Doctor Who, Carnival of Monsters.
All right.
When John Pertwee is talking to the guy with the see-through hat that runs the carnival.
Yes.
Totes. Totes. Sorry, we just had to talk nerd language for a minute. I do apologise.
I believe trade... Yes. Is a Polari term.
Polari, yes.
Oh, really?
And Queen is attributed to Polari, but it's not quite, we're not quite sure
what
it is.
What does trade actually mean?
I always assumed that it was
no, I know what it is.
But what are its roots?
Well, this is the thing. I'd always assumed that it was a play on tradies or like trading, like a meat market or something. But it turns out it's from this patois, from this mashup language.
We get naff from it.
Oh,
and cottaging. Which cottaging. I particularly love.
Cottaging.
To cottage is to go to a beat.
Yeah, but it makes it sound British so hunt. Kind of Enid Blyton.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Of it. Yes.
Let's go cottaging.
Let's go cottaging.
Yeah. But that, yeah, in Britain it's called cottaging, and in America it's called visiting the tea room.
Yeah.
But it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If you're in Victorian England and you want to say... I fucked a random guy last night. We can't say that. What we can say is I picked up some trade.
Yes. Oh,
and no one knows.
Yes. What are you saying?
Whilst I was out of the tea room.
It's very similar to the way that rhyming slang worked in the East End of England, which is basically let's hide all of these words from other people so we can, for example, and I looked up because rhyming slang is always changing.
Yeah.
And do you know who the current rhyming slang, and this is hilarious, current rhyming slang for gay is Finley Quay.
Finley
Quay.
And guess what the one for lesbians is Magnus Pike.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
The idea of Magnus Pike, who's the skinniest TV scientist
ever. They're both
ever.
Real people, aren't they?
Yeah. But they're kind of updated all the time,
right.
Which I think is absolutely lovely.
That
so
is
yes,
freaky.
But Polari. But the last Polari word I want to talk about was which is camp.
Oh,
we get camp. A lot of people associated with German, but it's actually comes from the Italian campere, which is to stand out or to exaggerate.
Ooh.
And so that came through from Polari. So anything that's a bit camp. Is a little bit standout.
Yes.
Wow. I love this idea. Oh. I love the. It feels like you're in a club again, doesn't it?
I know.
We have a secret language.
We were talking about this the other day, that as gayness gets more mainstream and we achieve, income equality or marriage or whatever, it feels like there's nothing special about it anymore, that you just blend into everyone else.
And
these kind of ideas make it exciting again, that you're like the... French Resistance or something.
For example, and a lot of these things are dying out, for example. And
it gives us solidarity too.
Yeah. Every country, a lot of countries have gay languages. For example, there's an Afrikaans version called Gael, I think.
Oh,
and it's about 200 words, and basically everything is related.
Well, you only need 200 words.
Camp, pale, home.
But everything in Gael, and I could be wrong about this, is basically a woman's name is a code. So police is Patricia.
Right.
A hemorrhoid is a Hilda.
Oh, right.
So yeah.
So I was at the Beatrice with Travis, and then Patricia arrived.
Yeah. I'm going to look up Gail Moore because the idea of that Afrikaans gay language is.
Wow. Yes. Made entirely hilarious. Of women's names.
Oh my God, Mother Horan, this is so interesting. Can we do more of this next week?
Sure.
Because we're going to run out of time.
Absolutely.
Woo! That was the Poofcast. Oh, are you all right?
I'm just dying. That was that took it out of me. That one.
Where's stuck in your throat?
Oh God.
Swallowed someone who doesn't agree with it.
Oh God. It's having where's in your throat is the same as having gonorrhea or something.
Where's is great. I'm really amazing at where's.
Yes.
You are amazing at where's.
I would win the car on where's.
there was.
I don't think
offer.
You'd win a car.
You'd... I think you win a Met card to travel the tram yeah. all day. Not even all day, just a 2-hour.
I think you win a cab ride, but you have to suck off the driver.
You win a bottle top.
We'll be back next time on the podcast.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.